Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Mood Board Podcast, and we are doing a special back-to-back interview series about Modernism Week in Palm Springs, California. This event actually starts today, February 15th, and runs all the way through the 25th. And if you're like me, this is the perfect interior design event to do in the middle of winter when you are dying for a winter break. I'm here in Connecticut. We literally just got almost a foot of snow, so I cannot wait to get on the plane and be on my way. One of the great things about this trip, too, is that I'm going to be a part of a very cool group called the Mod Squad. We're a handpicked group of influencers, and we happen to have impeccable taste and a great eye for design, and we will be giving you guys a lot of the behind-the-scenes sneak peeks of what's going on at Modernism Week throughout the entire trip on social media. And again, I will have links for all of these things tagged for you guys to follow along on this awesome trip. What's so great for those of you who don't know anything about Modernism Week, it's really a celebration to appreciate mid-century architecture and design. It's also about encouraging education, preservation, and sustainable modern living. And so I think for a lot of us, if we've been looking at climate change and thinking about different ways to approach design, for those of you like myself who are just big mid-century modern fans and love that era, this is a really great combination between kind of looking at the past as well as envisioning what the future in terms of architecture and home design can look like. So for me, I'm super excited to be a part of this trip, but I've always wanted to do a podcast as well around this type of event. So I'm excited for you guys to join in. If you're like, God, I can't get out, this is a perfect way to think warm thoughts, think beautiful homes, and join along on this trip. So on that note, we are going to get ready to start our first episode about Modernism Week. Thank you. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Mood Board Podcast. I'm excited to be doing a special new series that I've never done before. It's going to be all about Modernism Week. People who know me well know I am a huge mid-century modern fan. They know that one day Palm Springs out in California is where I want to retire. And so I'm excited to have Lisa Smith, the CEO of Modernism Week, on the show this week, and we're going to dig into all things about the event coming up next week as well. So we'll dig into more details at the end of the show. But Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Nice to see you, Angela.
So I always try to do this for first-time listeners. Just one, give us a little bit about your title, and then we'll get into all the questions.
Well, I'm so happy to be CEO now of Modernism Week after being at the helm for 11 years. Mm-hmm. It's been quite an adventure. I started as executive director, mm-hmm. and we had a wonderful CEO before me who has since moved out of state and retired. So I've had the position now about a year and a half. I'm going into my 11th year with Modernism mm-hmm. Week, but I've been around from the very first year. We're 19 years old, and my husband and I both volunteered from the very first year. Mm. So we've seen a lot of growth. We were there when it was just a three-day weekend event called Modernism Weekend.
Huh. Okay. So let's start from the beginning, because I know I've done a really good deep dive on all things Lisa.
Thank you.
So I wanted to know, you know, as a longtime resident of Palm Springs, how did your career path really lead you into becoming a part of Modernism Week?
Well, at this stage of my career, it feels like it was all in the stars and meant to be. But at the time, it was an incredible opportunity that presented itself after I had a very wonderful 8 years at Palm Springs Art Museum. And I worked my way from being an event producer there into senior management. I eventually was a co-senior director, which was fabulous. And of course, got to work with all of the museum exhibitions and their focus in architecture and design.
Oh, I see.
And the museum was actually one of the founding nonprofit organizations of Modernism Week. That's how we got started as a grassroots nonprofit effort that really was born out of five organizations kind of pooling their ideas and their resources together to start a festival that focused on mid-century modern architecture and design in Palm Springs. And so from the very beginning, I was at Palm Springs Art Museum and had a deep love for the architecture of Palm Springs and for modernism. So after my 8 years at the museum was coming to an end, this wonderful opportunity to be the executive director of Modernism Week was available, and I was their first full-time employee. And before then, it's important to say I had a wonderful predecessor who was a part-time executive director for Modernism Week, and she also is still involved. And so it's amazing the longevity that many people in our community have had over the years with Modernism Week. There are many of us that have been around 20 plus years working on this project.
That's really cool. And I guess one of the things I'd love to learn too, like, what even brought you to Palm Springs, California in the first place?
That's a great question. And you should ask that of people when they're here. You'll be surprised at the answers that you get. But I have an unusual story because my family moved here when I was 10 years old. And they were in the golf course development business. And at that time in the early 80s, things were just about to explode in the East Valley, as we call it, but those areas of Palm Desert, La Quinta, Indian Wells, Indio, the cities that are all east of Palm Springs in the Coachella Valley, really had quite a residential and real estate boom in the late 70s, 80s, and into the 90s, well into the 90s. And the East Valley was growing when Palm Springs kind of sat still for many years. And we're so grateful for that because that's part of the reason that so much of the mid-century modern architecture has been preserved, is that it was just left alone and untouched. And many properties were torn down or rebuilt or new projects built where they stood before, but not in the last 25 years. We've had a wonderful relationship with the city of Palm Springs, and they work very closely now with homeowners and residential developers to protect the mid-century properties and older properties. We have many, you know, properties dating back to the 20s and even some that predate that, old adobes and Native American properties and, you know, the entire preservation effort of the Coachella Valley is much bigger than Modernism Week, I would say.
So let's talk a little bit about this. I think, like, whenever I go to LA, people always, one, they're always like, why do you want to talk about Palm Springs, Angela? They're like, we're in LA. And I'm like, I know, but, you know, the history of it, it's really described as this resort style lifestyle that everybody from Hollywood, this is where they went to lounge, and there's tons of celebrities, you know, that took base in Palm Springs. But why do you think it's all about this resort style living out in the desert?
Well, I mean, fun in the sun, right? We have, you know, 360 days of sunshine. And so to many people, that equates with the leisure lifestyle. And so, you know, where golf and tennis and spa lifestyle was always a very important part of the sort of resort getaway lifestyle of Palm Springs, because it is a second home for many people. They're escaping colder climates for the winter, our wonderful snowbirds who return each year. But also, I think many people who live even in the US find themselves vacationing or taking spring break in Palm Springs because of our climate and how mild it typically is. Of course, the summer gets a little warm, and so everyone takes off by then. But, you know, even just looking out my window, I'm looking at a gorgeous swimming pool, beautiful blue sky, palm trees, birds in the sky. It looks like a resort. And so, even on a rainy day, it still has that air. And there is something about living the leisure life. You know, it's not only a state of mind where, you're just kind of always on vacation mode, I guess. But we work at a slower pace out here. You can't be too uptight in Palm Springs because, no one wants to go with that flow. Everyone just wants to be chill in Palm Springs.
That's actually very true because I'm an East Coaster through and through, and I actually studied at UC Berkeley for a time. And I did realize in California, just in general, like people are like, you gotta chill out.
I know.
Like you.
It is so true. Many of my New York friends will almost apologize because they know once they get to Palm Springs, they just have to slow down. And it takes a few days. You have to decompress. I definitely recommend a martini by the pool. That helps you get there quick,
So if you're feeling like you have a little bit of cabin fever like I do, I want to remind you that Modernism Week runs February 15th, which is today, through the 25th. If you want to get tickets for the big event, go to modernismweek.com. It is in Palm Springs, California, where right now it is clear skies, 70s, and because it's the desert, there is absolutely no humidity. And if you're going, Angela, you are crazy. I don't have time to take a quick trip across the country. Then I say, follow along on social media. There are two different ways I will be showing you guys some really fun behind the scenes of what's going on at the event at underscore Angela Belt. You can also follow along with the main social media account at modernism underscore week and join along with all of the fun. But again, I want to encourage you, it is a long holiday weekend and this runs two weekends in a row. So modernismweek.com, get your tickets and get immersed in all things mid-century modern, learning about sustainable design. And again, it's one of those great trips where you can also sit poolside, enjoying a margarita and relaxing at the same time. All right, now back to the interview. So let's talk a little bit too, because I think one of the things I always really appreciate about Modernism Week is it feels like there's a real kind of juggling act or a way to really balance between this homage to the past, but then also being really forward thinking at the same time with design. How does that all get balanced together?
Thank you for asking that because I think that's the thing that our staff and our wonderful board of directors, at our essence, that's probably our biggest challenge when we're talking about and planning programming for next year and future years. That balance is very important to us. And what we've learned over almost 20 years is that talking about the past or more specifically, that phase of mid-century modern design that we refer to as basically 1945 to 1973, let's say. It's all post-war era, post-World War II era. But there was so much happening in industrial design and commercial development, and a lot of that kind of came to an apex in Palm Springs because the desert modernist architects were able to use some of these innovative technologies and materials in the desert as a laboratory for architecture. They had wealthy clients who could afford to build a second home in a beautiful property with a lovely vista of the mountain and incorporate the indoor-outdoor lifestyle. And that is really how some of these resort style properties or, luxury estates were designed in that mid-century era. And some of those certainly were for Hollywood celebrities or, directors and producers, but also magnates of industry from all over the country. You know, Edgar Kaufman of the famed Kaufman House, of course, was, not only the owner of Falling Water, but of Kaufman's department store. And, these captains of industry found retirement homes in Palm Springs. So I think by looking back, what we learned from is not only how these architects and designers utilized the desert and the sites and the climate to their advantage with shade and light and ventilation and the materials that were available to them at the time. And those challenges are no different from what our designers today who are working in the desert are faced with. And I think they very much study and research what had been done in the past, what was successful and what wasn't. And so much of it you can visually see in Palm Springs, what works and what doesn't, because the sun and the desert climate is so extreme.
Yeah.
And so, you know, these properties really have to endure wind and rain and just
right.
wild climate. So, you know, I think that we're always looking forward, and particularly at sustainable technologies
Yeah.
as well. That's something that we're becoming more and more interested in, and we have more access to learnings about them that we're able to share with the public. So through our lecture series at the Annenberg Theater and our theater at camp, we're able to present talks and presentations on all of these subjects, looking back at desert modernism from the 50s and looking forward at sustainable technologies for future development. And we can invite presenters from all over the world to present their ideas and their designs and their findings, because we're not necessarily an academic setting. We have a freedom to sort of talk about design in an open, kind of unbiased way. So through that and other programs that we plan, we like to look back and forward at the same time.
Yeah, and I think that to me, you know, I think even when I came to visit, that was something that I really appreciated, that I was able to go to a house that was like literally built into the mountains and was able to live completely off the land, but still had these like really cool like terrazzo floors and things that I was really attracted to, you know, from back in the day. But that marriage between both things was really interesting to me at the time.
Yeah, I agree. And climate plays such a big role here in design and really throughout Southern California and largely the entire West. So it's a very relevant discussion, whether we're talking about what occurred in the past or how we're going to manage it in the future.
So let's talk about, you know, one of the things too about how Modernism Week is really changing to attract a younger audience. What are some of those new things that are being added in?
I'm glad to hear you say that, because, you know, as I get older, it seems like the audience is getting younger. And I would say that, you know, if anything, as our audience enters a home buying market, that's usually when we start to see young people become interested in design. Once they're interested in nesting and creating their own home. So whether that's right after college or as they get their first job or as they're buying their first home and considering paint colors or interior design, you know, it's really Modernism Week is a great entry level kind of gateway into interior design, because without spending a lot of money, you can see a lot of different homes and great examples of different personal style and how people design for their own style at home. And some of it is contemporary design that has hints of mid-century. Some of it's full-blown, you know, period, authentic furniture and decor pieces. I mean, beautifully restored and lovingly handled pieces. So, you know, some of these homes really have from the very, very top end to, you know, things that you can buy in the store yourself. And so it's a wonderful time to tour homes and get a sense of what you like and what how you'd like to create your own personal style.
I will say too, I have like one of my friends who lives in LA and they just bought a house. And so, of course, I told them about Modernism Week and they sent me articles about their house and like, we want to learn how to preserve it, all of those things. So I do agree with the new homeowner. Like once people start getting bitten, you know, by their property, they want to learn more and they want to get more informed. And I think that's, again, what Modernism Week is so good at too. I agree. Like when we start to look at pieces, I started getting into collecting a lot more mid-century pieces. I started looking for the signature. I started getting into more of those details that I may have before been like, oh, I don't really care. Like now my home, all those pieces really matter to me. And I love the stories behind them.
Exactly. And that's what makes it eclectic and special for you. That becomes your personal style then.
Oh yeah, no, I'm all in. I'm in love with it.
Well, I also, as a collector, you know, find that furniture, you know, tells a story of your life as well. And it can represent a moment in time or an heirloom that you've picked up, you know, from the past. And certainly there is so much wonderful vintage furniture and decor to shop for in Palm Springs.
Yes.
So if for nothing else, come to Modernism Week and, you know, redecorate your bedroom.
That's right. So let's talk a little bit. I noticed this about you, Lisa, as well, is that you have this mid-century modern, like Modernism Week Barbie collection, and it has its own Instagram page, and there's all these little narratives going on. I'm like, we can't do this interview without digging into Lisa's love with Barbie, especially with the whole Barbie movie. I was Barbie for Halloween. So I was like, we got to get into this. Let's talk about where that came from.
You have to send me a photo then. Of you
I will. Yes.
Barbie. I love that thought. Well, you know, speaking of collecting, I mean, I it turns out I'm a Barbie collector. you know, this has been something that I've loved my whole life, but it had really become quiet and dormant. And in my adulthood, I had not spent much time thinking about Barbie. However, about 10 years ago, a very close family member gave me her vintage Barbie and Ken collection. And she had her original dolls in their case with the clothes. And that's really what at first got me interested in taking photographs of these vintage Barbies in 1950s clothes in neighborhoods in Palm Springs. Because I have this vintage architecture as a beautiful backdrop and, you know, vintage Barbie with her gloves and her hat, you know, in her
she's ready to go.
Yeah, in her 50s gear. So I started taking photographs of the vintage dolls and the vintage clothes. And then I started wondering, well, what would the new dolls look like? And it turns out that new dolls photograph beautifully as well because they're so photogenic, you know, their features are incredible. And so over time, I just was having fun taking pictures of Barbies in real life settings to make it look like the real world. And this was, you know, about 10 years ago before the Barbie movie. I had so many photographs. Have you ever had a hobby that became so much more than how it started that you had
yes.
to, it developed a life of its own?
You're like, I don't know what's happened, but it's gotten legs.
Yeah, but now it's a podcast, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So all of a sudden I had to start an Instagram page and tell soap opera style stories about Barbie in Palm Springs. And so Tiny Palm Springs is the handle of my Instagram page. And I did it anonymously for the first 6 years.
Really?
Because, you know, I'm busy. I'm busy with work and I have a great job. And
yes,
I don't have a lot of time to be playing with my Barbies and photographing. But when I do, I really get into it. It turns out it is my art form. I love everything from storyboarding what we're going to tell to, you know, casting which dolls are going to be in the story and figuring out their wardrobe. And then ultimately planning the location and the set decor. And I started building dioramas during the pandemic. So my architectural.
I know. I'm like, it's all coming together here.
Right.
Soon you need to start animating them. That's next step.
Well, you know, boy, that's hard. I have tried a little bit and it's difficult. So you're right. I could pick up some new skills.
Yeah. I'm like, again, if you have the time.
Yeah. Well, that's what summer's for, right? So
yes.
I get to dive in a little bit deeper in the summer and I tend to tell longer stories in the summer.
Yeah.
And this summer I'll be participating as a speaker at the National Barbie Convention. I'm one of four speakers.
What?
I'm so excited. I'll be talking about the real dream houses of Palm Springs.
That's awesome, Lisa.
Thank
See,
you.
Yeah, this hobby just like you said, now it really
I know,
has
it has a life of its own.
So I guess my last question will be, you know, as people get ready to attend Modernism Week, I'm in Connecticut. I already got some of my Rent the Runway clothes. I'm getting my suitcase ready. I'm like, I am done with this 30 degree weather. I
Oh,
am
come
ready
on.
to be in the sun. You know, what should people prepare for this year? Like, what's the mood? What should we be thinking?
Well, I mean, you know, I can already see a trend happening at Modernism Week. Modernism Week this year is metallic.
Oh, okay.
There is a silver foil, let's say, happening to
Okay.
almost everything, and a golden sheen on our opening night party, which will be disco in the desert.
Ah.
I'm also seeing a real graphic and geometric expression of patterns. So patterned clothes, geometric patterns, you'll see it in fashion, textiles, interior design. Get ready for bold color, bold prints. People are now printing their own fabrics, so things are getting more creative than ever. And of course, don't forget to pack your bathing suit just
Oh,
in case,
yes.
and a hat, because we have some
Okay.
pretty sunny days. So even if it's cold, you might want a hat. But I can't wait to see what you've packed.
I'm very excited. My husband's like, "You're still here." I'm like, "I'm counting down in my head."
Well, get ready to change clothes and shoes two or three times a day.
Oh, see, and I love all that. That's what women die for. I know he has
Yep.
like he travels and he has like just a backpack and I'm like, oh no, that would never work in a woman's world. I'm like, we need
No.
many things.
And you might need an assortment of jackets. I have to warn you, it's a little brisk at night. You know, for us, if it gets under 60, it's cold.
You
So.
guys,
I
60
know.
Connecticut, we're all in shorts, tang tops. People are just like, oh my God, it's sunny. Yeah, so
You'll see
I'll be
me in a
I'm just
puffer with a scarf and gloves.
very excited. Well, Lisa, thank you for this interview. One, I'm so excited. Like I said, this was my podcast really came out of a hobby for me, but I love talking about design. I love talking about interior design. And so it just made sense that this year I was like, oh, I want to do something with Modernism Week. So I'm so glad it all got to come together.
Well, thank you for spending time with me, and I look forward to seeing you in person and getting to walk through some of these exciting homes with you. I can't wait to hear what you think. Please,
Yes.
please let me know your feedback while you're there.
I will absolutely enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
Well, I hope you really enjoyed this episode, and I want to remind you that this is really something different. This is an event that I'd love for you to be a part of. You can buy tickets for Modernism Week at modernismweek.com. What's great is this event just started today. It's February 15th through the 25th. If you are one of my friends on the West Coast, this is a great road trip to go during this holiday weekend and to take in some architecture and also sit poolside at the same time. If you're like my East Coast snow bunnies, there are some great direct flights going out of New York City. And in a couple of hours, you can say goodbye to the snow and hello, sun, while taking in some really cool mid-century modern architecture at the same time. If you're like Angela, I can't even do that right now. Let's talk about how you can follow along with my stories about the event at underscore Angela Belt, and you can also go to modernism underscore week on Instagram and you can follow along this way. But I think any way you can be a part of this, I definitely encourage it. It is definitely worth the trip. It will definitely make you have a greater appreciation for interior design, especially from this particular era. But also, if you're a new homeowner and you're looking at what are some new, different ways to approach architecture, more sustainability. This is something I've always enjoyed about the show, really the whole week as a whole, looking at things from a different perspective. So, just a sneak peek at some of the things I'll be doing while I'm there. I have an awesome event that I'll be going to called From Bauhaus to Our House. I'll be doing listening about preservation's difficult. What should we do with this? The case of the Elliot Noyes house. I'll also be taking a home tour designed by the two famous architects, Donald Wexler and Richard Harrison. It's called the Wexler 54, And that is just a few of the things, but there'll be plenty to follow along on. So please come a part of it, be a part of it. And this is something you should definitely put on your list. Again, this event actually runs 2 times a year in October and February. But I think this is really the time for you guys to get ready to attend. Thank you so much for listening to the Mood Board Podcast. We will have a new spring series coming up shortly. I'm excited. We've already had some great recordings coming through. So I'll give you a sneak peek as we continue to move on. All right, everybody. On that note, let's get our suitcases packed and get ready to go on our trip to Modernism Week. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.